Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, TASS Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, kind of hanging, waiting for the bad weather. And though it's mild, I may need to go to New York before all this is over with. I did one weekend in Pittsburgh. That's sort of enough. And I make my way to New York. I usually pass this guy's house. He was the one-time math teacher. I believe it was geometry, although I flunked out of algebra too. So what the hell do I know? He was known as Mr. Tenier. Back in the day in the Jersey suburbs of Philadelphia. He is a run-and-shoot gangster. And really, we were trying to pound the rock last weekend in Pittsburgh. And some days it works and some days it doesn't work. He is really an insider on all things analytics. He has been a partner to the godfather of DVOA, who joined us a couple weeks ago, Aaron Schatz. We welcome one of our defending champions of all things football and X's and O's and a little bit of fun. He plays in a rock and roll band too. He is Mike Tenier. What's going on, dude? How are you, man? How's the two deep zone going?
Two Deep Zone is going great. I'll tell you what, one weekend in January in Pittsburgh is enough under the best of circumstances. I don't think you were there under the best of circumstances,
Can
but that one cold city.
I want to give a little free plug because, like, driving to Pittsburgh allows me to stop at the Bakehouse in Frederick and come home. I got Cronuts going on in here, dog. Day two, day three. So elimination kind of sucks, and we have to talk about it in the aftermath of all of this. But give me your totality on the Ravens this year because, I mean, Luke and I have talked hours about offense, defense, the owner, the accountability, the fact that I'm out in the cold and their media department's a joke, and the way Harbaugh runs the thing. Harbaugh, DaCosta, Bisciotti, Lamar, all of that comes into full focus when you're 8-9 in my town, man.
When you're 8-9 in your town, and it is funny how we are having this conversation because of a missed field goal. So I did some Pittsburgh radio, I did this radio, I'm doing national, and it's like, remember that this entire conversation, whether it's about the Ravens or the Steelers, hinges on a missed field goal.
And by the way, if they would have won the game,
Yes.
it would have hinged on the other kicker missing the extra point.
Would have been on Boswell missing the extra point, and I'd be on talking about Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan. What's this team? What's this direction?
What are you doing, Mr. Rooney?
Yeah, what are you doing, Rooney? What's going on with this family? And now they're going on, and it's like, well, this could be Aaron Rodgers' double deluxe legacy, and we're doing this here. So that doesn't minimize. You're right. 8-9. You look at the 1-5 start, and you say, well, the amount of things that can't be controlled at the beginning of the season couldn't be controlled. It's that end of the season. It's that sweep of the Steelers. It's that Bengals loss. It's that Patriots loss. That had me looking at this and saying that team was healthy enough, that team was organized enough to win those games, played well enough to win against the Steelers, played well enough to win against the Patriots, and comes away with losses. And that's where you mentioned all the principal characters. I don't know what structurally has to be done, and I'm not going to come out here and be like, fire Harbaugh, fire DaCosta. They have to present their plans. If I'm Biscotti, present your plan to me about how it's different next year, and don't say, we're just going to run it back. Show me how structurally, how fundamentally we're going to change things to prevent underachieving. Because that's what this was in the second half of the year when the Ravens could have gone on the run underachieving.
You on Lamar as a $65 million quarterback, if not that he can't run, but he won't be the runner over the next 3 years that he was 5 years ago when he was the sensation of the league, nor do you want him to be that runner. You want him to be the threat of that runner, but we saw this thing go from bumper cars to let's make him drop back and pass to gaudy statistics, 41 touchdowns, four interceptions, and didn't even win the MVP last year. So, I mean, and the perception that he's going to the Hall of Fame, whether he wins the Super Bowl or not, the perception that he wants to play in Miami or some other place, the perception here that there's him and Harbaugh are not simpatico, or that the offense and Todd Monken, just all of it, the bad reporting that came out 2 weeks ago, I don't mean bad by, I mean, just sort of stuff's leaking out of the building when things might not. And he might be the best player in the league when he's healthy. Certainly on Sunday night, there was occasion to think like he looked healthier than he's looked since like week three.
Healthier than week three, but you saw him getting chased down from behind too. So he wasn't as healthy as he's was in
Because
2024.
no one could catch him for years, for
No one can catch him
years.
for years. And the future's coming where he'll get caught more often, but he goes from one of the best scramblers of all time to a scrambler like that when he's healthy, not necessarily down to, oh my gosh, now you're Philip Rivers. So it's not going to go like that. Now, I'm out of Philly. So when you start talking about leaked frustration and anger and people not getting along, we're always at DEFCON 2 here in Philadelphia. And you realize that a lot of that winds up being losing begets frustration, begets grumbling, begets insider reports, and a lot of that is solved by everyone doing better. In my
I didn't
opinion,
even know the Eagles offensive coordinator's name until everybody in town started burning it. Like, right?
that's the thing. He was so anonymous in the first place that, like, if he was doing a job well, people would have known him. And then by the time you figure out who he is, it's a little bit like Zach Orr.
Okay.
The guy.
And you brought up a great point there. So, by the way, Mike Tannier is here if you're listening on the radio side. I love him. He's up in Philly. He wears a great hat. He was Joe Flacco's math teacher, really. Roster wise, and this is where I start to get after DaCosta, which is really in your lane of how guys are performing and doing their jobs, the do your job of Bill Belichick. Luke and I have witnessed this. We talked at length about, we can talk about the field goal, we can talk about all the politics, we can talk about who's got contracts and who likes each other. But the body of work, the eye in the sky not lying with your buddy Jaworski up there, I mean, the all 22 tells me. I can't find anybody on the field. Maybe Kyle Hamilton, and he was banged up most of the year, that had a plus year, that had a year where we're like, hey, they're ascending. They're getting better. We're gonna have to pay them more. Maybe Tyler Linderbaum, who was surrounded by two stiffs at guard. This was really a roster issue all year long. It felt like they don't have good enough players, and the players that they think are really good, Roquan, Marlon Humphrey, Ronnie Stanley, Mark Andrews, were just ordinary. At best.
Right. You mixed a couple because you mixed older guys on the downside, like Andrews and Stanley, where it's like we know those were good ball players. They might have been hanging around too long, might be too banged up in the case of Stanley. Amata Bukay being out for a whole year, mixed with the younger guys who haven't developed to that level. Or I guess a guy like Humphrey, like, yeah, you've been there for a few years too. You're not here, you're
But
here.
you're being paid to be here.
Paid here, and your expectation is here, and your role is here. And that's it. I start with the pass rush. One of the, like, you get rid of Oweh, and then there's no, for some reason, finally, in Baltimore, the cupboard's bare. No one can rush the passer. 20 years of that team, that's the thing that the Ravens did. And I think a lot of that is the philosophy of saying we're going to do a next man up. We're going to home grow these guys. We're going to pick these guys who are traits and tools guys in college, wait a year or two, and then they're going to come up. At some point, that runs out. And this was a year in particular. I think you win a game or two down the stretch if you've got a monster edge rusher. Or even if you have an above-average edge rusher, even if you've got the Jalen
Look at
Phillips.
what Jim Schwartz done in Cleveland with Myles Garrett, right? Like,
Right, he single-handedly fixes a bunch of problems, and there was nobody like that. Now, you might not be able to find Myles Garrett. Can you find Jalen Phillips? Can you find somebody who's out there where it's like we are rushing for Baltimore Ravens last 6 weeks of that season when they rushed for, there was no pass rush. Aaron Rodgers is comfortable in your pocket. Aaron Rodgers
he
is
had a
playing.
good time, didn't he? He had a good
Yeah.
he had a, he had an easy night. He really did. I mean, in the way that like his mind processes, if nobody's coming to kill me,
Right.
I'll just wait for somebody to get open or I'll dirt the ball. You know, like,
And if the
right?
person coming to kill me is a safety coming in this, I've been doing this for 26 years. If he's coming here, I know who's getting open over there. I'm going to get the ball to them. Aaron Rodgers is going to get vivisected next Monday night by the Texans. He by the second quarter, he's going to be wishing he was out in his yurt somewhere because that's a real pass rush. But the both times that he played the Steelers, he's out there, he's able to process. He doesn't even have DK. He knows he can dump it in the flat. So it starts with defensively. One of the first things I'd say is I think there should be a new defensive coordinator. You just mentioned Schwartz. He is out there in the market probably right now looking for work, and he has ties to these guys. Why don't you bring him in?
He's from Baltimore, dude.
He's a
He's a
Baltimore
Baltimore
dude.
guy.
Yeah, come in wearing his Orioles hat and start talking about, Mark Bellinger or
You know
whoever.
what he'll do is he did this for me back in the day. He has, you're an old school teacher. You remember the notebooks with the black and white checkerboard top, you
Yes,
know, the right with the
one
binding underneath. He
more.
has one of those from 1979 where he kept score every night with the Orioles.
Ken Singleton's like batting average.
Literally in that era, he has that. So,
Oh my
yes.
God. No, he would come back, and he's a coordinator for life type.
I can't imagine he could work for John Harbaugh. I
Okay.
just I don't see that as even. I
Good
mean,
right.
keeping in mind that Jim and his brother almost got in a fist fight at the 50-yard line
Okay, that's
15
true.
years ago.
All right, that's
Yeah.
fair. I forgot that one. That's a good call.
Well, this speaks to Harbaugh not hiring the best coaches, hiring guys that can get along with Harbaugh. And I'll tell you what, I'm not a guy that can get along with Harbaugh anymore. You know
Right.
what I mean? Like, I'm it just like th that's a certain level of paranoia and power that, the Harbaugh show here has really gotten old for the fans. And look, you're in Philly. They're firing everybody every minute of every,
Every
like,
week.
that's not my town, right? Like, I've been doing sports radio for 35 years. We don't do fire the coach around here. As a matter of fact, why should we? Because they're not firing him anyway. And that's
Right.
where I am. Like, he's like a son to Bisciotti.
Yeah.
Like, and the same thing with DaCosta.
Yeah.
So part of this is they're all going to burr up and save themselves and save their own. And that's why this month is such a strange thing. And the Lamar rumors of, because if Lamar wants out, it's all hell here, Mike.
But what does that even look like? What does a Lamar trade even look like? Because we can talk about it and speculate.
He
It's like,
doesn't have an agent.
right. First of all, you don't know how to get it done, and secondly, who's out there? Like, man, he was on the market 3 years ago, and everyone's like, ah, I don't know about this. This sounds weird. And again, that was different because you would have had to go like through five different things. But what Lamar for Burrow straight up? Like, what does it look like at that level? I can't perceive what the trade looks like. Lamar to the Jets for 8 first-round picks. That's a disaster for both sides, probably.
Can you perceive that Lamar would say, I don't want to be here anymore? Like an NBA player?
I don't think so because he doesn't. He's never struck me as wired that way. If he's mumbling, grumbling in the back to like his entourage or his buddies or something like that, it never manifests itself. And the other thing I would ask is how much of that is he's banged up, he's getting talked about in the media and stuff like that, and he's a frustrated person. And if he goes fishing for 2 weeks, he comes back and he gets his mind right. That's the kind
Are
of stuff.
you a believer that he can still win the Super Bowl here in the next 3 years?
He is, when he is fully healthy, he's the third best quarterback in the NFL behind Mahomes and Allen. If he has lost his scrambling ability down to like a certain level, maybe he's the sixth best, seventh best. You know, you reach a level where him in the pocket is better than, and you can just start rattling off the, is better than Jared Goff, is better than Sam Darnold, is better than, you can name guys in the playoff
Well,
field.
there's a lot of guys in the playoffs this week, and we'll get to that too. You know, whether it's Trevor Lawrence, whether, you know, all of these 1-1 kind of cats. You mentioned Burrow, who might want out of Cincinnati. And I just think it's Billick used to always say this, and I've never heard anybody else say it, but Billick would say there's a time for pay and a time for play. And you know what? When that ball sailed wide right on Sunday night, Mike, it's now the time for pay for everybody.
Right.
And in an 8-9 season where they're not used to that here, and the fans are antsy, and the stadium's emptied out five different times here in a way that I've never seen in my lifetime. And, you know, the Justin Tucker thing here is horrific in a million ways, but really dirty karma that it was a missed kick on Sunday night, too.
A little bit of dirty karma, and that's the thing, a Ravens existential problem where they always seem to have the guy who's done the horrible thing, and they're like stuck dealing with it, going back to Ray Rice or whatever. But again, if that kick goes through, we're talking about Lamar making this amazing throw to Isaiah Likely and making this touchdown to Zay Flowers down the stretch and getting these things done after crawling off the injury report the previous week. So that's where you have to say some things may look different in a week or two. And in terms of, again, so if you talk about Harbaugh being a son and DaCosta being a son, I don't fire my sons, you know, but I might say if they F things up really badly, you got to come to me and we got to have the real conversation about what you're going to do differently down the road. Show me, put it in paper, put it in writing, face to face, eye to eye. Different defensive coordinator, some different coaching staff on the offense. I don't think Monken's a problem, but maybe you bring in somebody else to work with Lamar, or work with the offensive line. Draft strategy. Are we going to do things differently this time? Are we going, you know, a free agent strategy? Are we going to pursue a young elite edge rusher, not somebody who's 39 years old that we're bringing back in for their farewell tour? Show me what this looks like. And you put that ultimatum in front of them. Then you can say, and again, this year, maybe the only person who loses their job is Orr or somebody else like that. But then in the future, say, we had benchmarks that you were supposed to hit. You didn't hit them. Now it's time for all of us to part ways.
Mike Tenier is here. He has been covering football as well as anybody. He's up in the fighting city of Philadelphia, brotherly love. He's over on the Jersey side, a one-time math teacher. You know what, dude, that's such a cool celebrity thing. Like, you were Joe Flacco's what teacher in what year and how?
It was calculus, and it was like 1998 or something like that. Flacco's got a gray beard now.
He
He's got a gray
does.
beard now. Actually, he still lives somewhere a couple miles away and all. So you taught him, and the joke about him is like he's this old guy who's got teenage kids and everything like that. So it was a minute ago. I haven't been a teacher, believe it or not. I think it's been like 16 years
Dude,
now.
you brought your teacher ish out with me 5 minutes ago. I backed up and I'm like, Mr. Tenier's on me right now. Like you were doing a little scolding a minute ago about like, what are you gonna do, Eric DaCosta, to make things better? Like a real parent would be. And I'm writing a letter to Bisciotti here at this point right now. He hasn't spoken to the media in 8 years. I don't know what Jeff Lurie does up in Philly or how often he's out. I was struck in Pittsburgh, and both of the Rooneys, I've been in their company for 30 years. They're sitting in the press room when you're up in Pittsburgh. You could sit, Mr. Rooney would just be sitting there, and you talk to him, anybody could talk to him because he's a man of the people. We're at a point with the billionaire club here and the smell of this organization. And, Mike, it's not about me, but it is. I covered the team for 30 years. I've been thrown out sitting in the cold and they're making up lies about calling the Steelers and making, I mean, the Justin Tucker thing here, when all is said and done and all the real reporting would be done, the culpability and whether people in that building knew or not, and he still kicked for 10 years, there have been no questions answered since Ray Rice, literally, because the owner's just not interested anymore. It's not fun for him anymore to do that. And the stadium's emptying out. You know what I mean? They're begging people to buy tickets.
That's the place where you should have stepped up. Like I don't need Biscotti to come out here and talk about Harbaugh or whatever like that. When the Tucker situation, he should have done out and did that. He did do that for Ray Rice. He did go out there and give a long press conference
And
about it.
hated it. Hated every.
Oh, well, who would like it? Who would like that? Who would like that? That's your job. You can make a gazillion dollars. You're the
But at
owner.
least you can go out and say, when we found out, when we saw him punch his wife in the elevator, we didn't cover it up. They covered it up.
This got covered up. Right. So now
Yeah,
it has.
that's the problem. That was the issue of shame and not coming and facing it because they lied about all of it repeatedly, all of them. All of them. It wasn't just that he did it. And I like Ray Rice. I mean, Ray Rice is working in town and signing autographs and taking pictures, eating seafood. God, I've always liked Ray Rice. And we all do wrong things. It's what happens after you do something wrong,
And then you get the ugly question of whether it's something that was in the heat of the moment or a systemic thing that you did a lot, in the
Well,
cold light.
covering up is a systemic issue in their
And that
building
is
and
absolutely.
lying in their building about injuries and the head coach lying about practices he may or may not have had with the pads and may like it, it's Harbaughian. I don't even the Michigan thing's explosive, right? And meanwhile, Jim's playing this week. John's at home. People are talking about his job. I mean, it's a tough business, I would say, is
It
summary
is.
of what I would say
I
today.
try to line things up. Like I don't like the brother is not responsible for the brother, so nothing that happened in Baltimore has anything to do with anything that happened in Michigan, et cetera. Some of this, you can't fire the owner. That part of it, you're stuck with, and whatever he's doing at that systemic level, there are a lot of owners who are doing evil in this league. And when you talk about the practice thing, that was inexcusable. There have been like three or four Giants things that have come out. This is another thing that's happening around the league where you discover, oh, they were hiding injuries. They were putting guys on IR who weren't
Well,
hurt,
when
which.
you start taking bets, now you're like gangsters, right? You've created a game, you've issued referees that adjudicate bets for billions of dollars on video. Like, keep it on the up and up. That's what I say with the lottery. They give me these lottery tickets. It's on the up and up. That's part of gambling on it, is thinking it's on the up and up. The leagues haven't figured that part of it out yet. And certainly when it comes to what's on the up and up with the head coaches and HIPAA via, come on, dude. Are you giving a real injury report here, or is it one of those old Denver Broncos injury reports,
Right, or one of the old Patriots injury reports with Belichick, where all 45 guys were on the injury report. Well, because they're all a little banged up. When you talk about also you getting squeezed, I'll go on and I'll talk to somebody else and, like, well, I'm getting squeezed. I'm getting squeezed. The NFL has been squeezing media for years. And we have been pushed further, 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 further out from where we were in terms of being able
Because
to.
guys are having head trauma and CTE, and guys are killing family members and crazy, and they don't want any part of any of that, right? So when real media people are involved with real questions about things, they're not really, and the team websites focus on A propaganda in the same way that Trump last weekend came in, took the Venezuelan leader, ran off, said it wasn't about oil, and like he has real concern for the Venezuelan people. You know what I mean? Like, don't pee down my neck and tell me it's raining. That's part of the NFL ethos at this point, and I find that to just be fascinating on a business level
It's
that this is
gross.
how they choose to operate.
It's gross. It's nasty. And let's not forget on the other end of things, if you try to go to, say, the player individually, you discover that their agent and publicist have three layers of people between them. Or it's Lamar, and you just don't even know whose phone number, and you're going to get some guy who sells workout equipment, and you're going to have to work backwards from that. So it's like, well, maybe, and then you could be going, I just want to do a puff piece on you, quarterback, whatever. And the agent and the publicist have to sign off on that, and they give you a no because you told a joke once 2 years ago, and it's on your Blue Sky feed. Then you go back to the team publicist, and you get these things where it's like it's very easy for them to say no. And it's you're right, it's a propaganda element, it's an information control element. There's just a culture among the powerful, let's just put it that way, that the media can go F itself. Like we're just a problem. We're just an irritant. And whether that's at the White House level or in that sphere of influence or in the NFL or in the NBA or anything
Oh,
else.
there's no question that Chad Steele would aspire to be Catherine Levitt or whatever her name is. There's no doubt about it. Mike Tenier is here. We like to talk football. Who do you like in the tournament, dude?
This particular, I think we've slept on the Seahawks. And if you're a Ravens fan who's like tired of the Ravens and you want a team that looks like the Ravens used to look, go root for the Seahawks. You got McDonald, you got this amazing defense, you got the quarterback, Darnold, who's a little bit of a cross between Joe Flacco, Trent Dilfer, and insert, I don't know, Vinny Testaverde here, where he's just sort of getting the job done. They run the ball really hard. It's just tough physical football. They beat the crap out of teams, and at the end of the game, fans are like, that wasn't that good. It's like, dude, the score was 28 to 10 or something like that. It's like, it was closer than 28 to 10 because they're such a complimentary old school football team that it's not whiz bang, eight touchdowns in the first quarter kind of football.
Put you to sleep by just beating you all night.
Yeah, you're right. If you're not a fan of that team, you're like, oh my God, like maybe we'll get back into it and your quarterback gets sacked three times. Like, how come we couldn't
I
get
can't
back into
even get into this. You're not even playing this weekend. They got a bye.
it?
You know what I mean?
Well, if you like this weekend, if you're a Baltimore fan, root for the Houston Texans. Because again,
Beat
you're
the
going to watch.
Steelers.
Yeah, because you're going to watch the Steelers. You're going to watch Aaron Rodgers get into a helicopter and fly away at halftime to get away from that defense.
All right. Well, you've predicted gloom and doom for the Pittsburgh Steelers, so we love you here. How about those Eagles? What's going on up there? Yeah, that's your city up there in Philly.
The Eagles won the NFC East and are defending champions, and they're going to the playoffs, and everyone hates everyone. You talk about like the fans want Sirianni fired, Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator, fired. Let's face it, that's not a terrible idea. They don't want Fangio fired. Everyone loves Fangio. We love the Paisans up here. There was talk of benching Jalen Hurts, and it's like, well, maybe Tanner McKee's better than Tanner McKee plays poorly against the Commanders. So this is a team everybody's looking at the 49ers, and Eagles fans always look at 49ers like, because there's history in the playoffs and there's been like vengeance storylines and there's been cross sniping with their fans. So it's a tough matchup coming up on Sunday afternoon.
I usually hate the Philadelphia sports teams in a general sense, starting with the Flyers, and I've always loved the Phillies, but the Eagles, no, not so much. But Vic Fangio, like you say, who do you root for at this point? I sort of root for people I like, and I like Vic Fangio a lot. He was here for a minute, and he likes me, and we would always talk baseball and different things. So, I don't root for the Eagles, but when I see him up in the box calling plays, it does make me think a little differently about it when Joe Buck's calling the game. That's all. Mike, promote what you do. Tell everybody about the great football work you're doing because people listen to me. They want to learn football. They want to talk more football, better football. That's what you've dedicated your life to doing after you educated Joe Flacco.
Well, my website is called The Two Deep Zone. You can find it at miketanier.substack.com. Two Deep Zone, TOO, too deep, like your college girlfriend, not like Vic Fangio's defense where there's safeties back there. And I cover the NFL from all angles, a lot of analytics, a lot of jokes, a little bit of an irreverent sense of humor there. And I've been doing it now for almost for two full seasons. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, he is my kind of iconoclast and former math teacher. I, man, One day we're gonna have to talk about algebra too, just like over a beer somewhere where we'll get some pencil number two pencils out and erasers. Still don't
Sounds like
understand
fun.
it.
You'll discover how much I've forgotten in the last 15 years. I'll be halfway through a problem. Actually, it's pretty good. I had to help my sons up until about 2 years ago, so I still
I've
have that.
never understood. Can I just take 2 minutes here and just bitch to you on the radio on my show? I've
You're
never understood how a guy from Dundalk that could take Algebra 1 and Algebra 2 and struggle mightily with it from the time I was 13 until I was 22, quite frankly, and then give it up and then 35 years later think to myself, I've never needed it once in my life in any way. And for that, and I wasn't going to be whatever the smart kids did. What did those kids even? I guess they're running NASA now and getting thrown out by Trump, who doesn't even know what a weather map looks like. But in a general sense, I never used it, and it enervated me. Like back, it made me cry when I was a kid because I just couldn't do it. And I'm such a writer, and I'm like, I'm just gonna go do that. I'm good at that. But the math thing, the part that kills me is that I never used it in my life, Mike.
I do have former students who wound up at NASA, at Pixar, in various engineering fields, economics fields, etc., a business analyst. But that's probably like 10% of my students. The rest of it never used it again a day in their lives. And that's a problem, a structural problem with American education that we could probably talk about somewhere along the way, about how math could be made better, more useful, and how things like shops, languages, music and art could be reintroduced and not turned into these side things, but be reintroduced into our education system, so that kids come out maybe not n crying over Algebra 2, but knowing how to change their oil. And maybe play a couple chords on the piano and stuff like that, and be better rounded and be better educated and have their how do you say it? Like their minds more open to all these ideas than we learn something that, again, the reason why you learn algebra calculus is because it was the space race. That was like Eisenhower and Kennedy. That goes back to that. That's why you were forced to do it, 'cause, so you could put a rocket on the moon, Nestor.
I came out of a subway in New York a couple of years ago, late in the day, and I came up and a pretty girl, I mean, and she was, spoken complete sentences. There was nothing destitute looking about her. She was just out on the streets of New York. And she said, I guess I look safe, with my long hair. And she said, hey, do you know which way to, and there was a point where I looked up to the sky and I said, well, the sun's setting over there, so that's west.
Yeah.
And she looked at me like she had no,
Right.
like that I was really smart for knowing that. She's like, really? Like it was like one of the, and I'm like,
Yeah,
oh
right.
man, no matter, no wonder Trump got elected here, man. And I see that on my Facebook. Just the level of education and just basic things that people get in cars now and get directions, but they
Yeah, oh
can't read
yeah.
a map, it's crazy.
No, it's like from Baltimore to Philadelphia, to ask an adult, what's the general idea of getting from Baltimore to Philadelphia? What direction you gotta go? What's the highway? Somebody who's been driving for 10 years, I don't know. They can identify I-95. Like, how are you functioning in the world?
Like, yeah, like I have a radar built in anywhere I am, even in an airplane when I'm flying west, I know I'm over Kansas first and headed toward Wyoming. It's just sort of like it blows me away, dude. But thank you for being an educator. Thanks for educating us on football. Mike Tenier is here. He's got the t two T O. Tell everybody how exactly
T-O-O, two
two
deep.
deep.
Like too deep. It's like, oh, I'm listening to a Cure album. Too deep zone.
I listened to a Cure album last week. My wife's like, put some Cure on. I want to see if I like it. I
Wait,
said,
that's the
well,
first time you listen to the Cure?
now her. She wait,
Oh.
so when she was gone for Christmas, the Cure did a night where they had their, and they just lost their keyboard player. They had a concert about a year ago. And I know Reeves Grabraa a little bit from the Tin Machine and David Bowie era, from my music critic era.
Right.
And they did a show, I believe in Spain, Portugal, whatever. They shot it in HD. It was 31 songs. And they put it in the theater like December 11th. And I went down to Rundle Mills and paid my $20 and sat there and watched it. And my wife wasn't in town. And we were, hey, what did you do while you were gone? I said, I saw a Cure thing because I took her to the Depeche Mode thing and she thought that was freaky deaky. And the Cure thing, she's like, I don't know if I'd like, like put a, like she knows the hits. Come on now. But I put it on and it's so loud and noisy and you really have to like Robert Smith's voice. And I said that to her, but I said, It's trippy for me. It's groovy for me. It's
Yeah.
trancey for me. And I
Yeah.
love The Cure for that.
Their hits are quieter and more accessible than their
Than
album
like Plain Song or like,
track.
right? You know what I
Right.
mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're more trance-like. I think they're just heavier. I think they're just louder songs in general on the albums. So that can be impenetrable. I'm just stunned hearing people like our age, and it's like, and women being like, yeah, I never really heard The Cure.
She knows Just Like Heaven. She
It's
knows
like
the love
everyone.
song. She knows the hits, but
Right.
she didn't know like the early like Love Cats, and she didn't know Let's Go to Bed, and she didn't know, you know, Staring at the Sea type era. Or she wasn't college rock radio in the 80s. She was more like Bobby Brown, MTV. You
I
know what I
know.
mean? Salt and
Right.
Peppa. You know, that's more
And that's
her.
so you get like the hits because they would get mixed in with that.
Because she's from Manchester, New Hampshire, listen to pop radio and MTV. That's all. They didn't have like a college radio. She wasn't. She doesn't get REM the same way I do. You know what I mean? That's all.
Well, dating girls in the 80s who liked Depeche Mode was no fun either.
Oh man, do we have to discuss that differently? Man, you were on the wrong side of the boardwalk in Ocean City in 88 and 89 with that Violator album, dude. Trust me. Mike Tenniere is here. That Violator's one of my top 10 favorite all-time albums ever. And so, you know, I can't say that about a Cure album. I love Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me, but not my favorite all-time album. That's
That's why they make chocolate and vanilla, I guess.
all. That's why they make you. Mike Tenniere is here. He's covered football this week in Philly, but you're not an Eagles guy, right? You don't root for them, right?
I'm a childhood, so all my life, Eagles fan. You never lose the rooting interest. I guess unless you start actively fighting with the owner, you don't lose the rooting interest. Where'd you
Well,
get
I didn't actively
go?
fight with the owner. By the way, I have a Philadelphia Eagles belt buckle here I'm going to gift you from 1971. I have an
Oh,
extra
that'd
one.
be
So,
neat.
yeah, there
That'd
you
be
go.
neat.
You put that right behind you there. I'll make you think of Bergie and Carmichael and all that. All right.
Oh, that would be great. It's national coverage on the Two Deep Zone. There is a little bit of Eagle centricity because we're based out of Philly. And that doesn't hurt when the team is the defending champions and a lot of storylines do roll through Philly.
Nobody covers the league better than you guys, so I appreciate that. Mike Tenniere's here. It is a week, not just with Mike Tenniere. It's friends and family week here this week. It's been like the last couple of weeks we've been doing crab cakes and holidays and great stories, and that's friends and family too. This week we're getting down and dirty with some of my best friends in sports, people I haven't had on. I'm just like getting to the bottom of the Harbaugh, Bisciotti, Lamar thing, and of course Orioles prosperity that lies ahead. Spring training around the corner. I'm Nestor. We're WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.